Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the epistle that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the church at Thessalonica. And in this chapter, it concerns the second coming of Christ and the signs of His coming, what will take place before He comes again. And the title of this message is The Man of Sin. This is part two. I began this last week. I began preaching a couple weeks ago in 2 Thessalonians 2 concerning this issue of the second coming of Christ. He is coming again. And how Paul was correcting the Thessalonians, the Thessalonians this issue. And he tells them that before Christ comes again, there are two things that have to happen, and it's in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2. And by the way, I urge you to get the messages that I preached on this. You can order them on CD or DVD, or you can listen to them on our website on 2 Thessalonians. The first one was the day of Christ. The second one was the man of sin, part 1, and then today, the man of sin, part 2. And I'm going to continue through this chapter because it talks about things that we need to know. If we claim to be Christian, these are things that we need to know leading up to the second coming of Christ. Now, nobody knows the day and the hour and the time that He's coming back. I can't tell you that He's coming back tomorrow, the next day. Anybody who tries to tell you that they know when the exact date or when Christ is coming again is a liar, because nobody knows that. And in that sense, He will come as a thief in the night, the Scripture says. Now, when it says that, it doesn't mean that He's going to sneak up on everybody and come silently or stealthily and take believers out of the world. No, when He comes again, and Paul wrote about this in 1 Thessalonians, when Christ comes again, He's coming with a trumpet sound, with a shout, the archangels. It's going to be very public. And He is going to gather His church, rapture His church unto Himself, and then He's going to raise those who died in their sins unto judgment, the judgment of damnation. And as I mentioned last week, the standard of judgment is the righteousness of Christ revealed in the gospel. That's the merits, the worth, the power of His obedience unto death, His work on behalf of His people to save His people from their sins. And so we preach the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed by pointing sinners to Christ for salvation by God's grace. That means you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. It's not conditioned on you or me. It's all conditioned on Christ, and He fulfilled those conditions. But Paul writes here in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Now, I described that falling away in the last message. But that's a falling away from the truth. Basically, what he's talking about here is that there'll be a majority of churches, but not true churches. A majority of churches that claim to be Christian, but they've fallen away from the doctrine of Christ. They claim that they're following Christ, but they're not following His Word. And you'll see that today. A person came to our church one time, and she had left her former church, and she told me, she said, "I'm leaving because they believe in progressive Christianity." And she asked me if I knew what that is. And I've heard of progressive Christianity. And what that is these are Christian churches who believe that there are other ways of salvation, other ways to God. Well, my friend, that's a denial of the doctrine of Christ. That's a falling away. You understand that? Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14:6. Peter preached, he said, there's none other name under heaven given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Christ is the only way. God's grace is the only way. The way of the cross is the only way. The way of His righteousness is the only way. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So if you're going to a church and they're preaching to you that there are other ways of salvation other than the Christian way, the true Christian way, all salvation conditioned on Christ based on His righteousness imputed alone. If they're preaching any other message other than that, they've fallen away. That's what he's talking about. There must first be a falling away. Now, the second thing he mentions in verse 3 here is that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this is in accordance with the falling away. And this man of sin is what most people referred to as Antichrist. And the majority of people who call themselves Christian today are talking about one man. They're looking for, in the future, one man's going to come and rise up in religion, in economics, in politics, and he's going to deceive everybody. I don't believe that that's talking about one man. I believe it's talking about a spirit of Antichrist revealed in false preachers, false Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this. He said in Matthew 24. Now let me read you something in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 24. And this is important. Now here, you know, in Matthew 24, Christ talks about two future events. He first begins talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now that took place in AD 70. When everything was just totally obliterated in Jerusalem. That was God's judgment upon the unbelieving Jews. And so Christ speaks of that. But then he goes on to another future event, which is his second coming. And listen how he describes the days prior to his coming in Matthew 24 and verse 24. He says, "For there shall arise false Christ." False messiahs. Now we've seen that in our day. Many people, you know, some people who claim to be the Messiah. And not many people are fooled by that necessarily. But he says in that day there shall arise false Christ. But he says, and false prophets. False prophets, false preachers. Now, this is where many people are deceived. You find a preacher or a prophet, as you may say. And the prophet is one who told forth God's word, claimed to. But they're false prophets. How do you know a false prophet? They preach a false gospel. They don't abide in the word of God. They don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. They preach salvation conditioned on sinners, not salvation conditioned on Christ and on Him alone. Christ who fulfilled those conditions. Christ who secured the salvation of all for whom He died. They preach a God of unfulfilled desires. God wants to do this. God wants to do that. God is not willing to do this or not willing to do that. But you won't let Him. You have to cooperate. Their message is a message not of salvation by sovereign grace, but a message of cooperation. If you'll just do what you need to do, whatever that is, they deny the justice of God. God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody. It's up to you. And if you don't do that, you'll go to hell even though He died for you. That's a denial of the justice of God, friend. They preach salvation based upon the works and or the wills of men. But the Bible teaches that man has no desire or will to come to God. I quote this verse all the time, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man, that's us by nature, as we are fallen in Adam and born dead in trespasses and sin, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. You will not come to me that you might have life, Christ said. Romans 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. And it goes on down there and says, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. In other words, if God doesn't seek me and find me and give me life, you must be born again, I won't seek Him. If God came down here and the whole human race had fallen in Adam and said, now how many of you will choose me? None of us would choose Him. That's what the Bible teaches now. Hear me well on that. That's the total depravity of man. So He says in Matthew 24:24, there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, false preachers. Now listen to this. They shall show great signs and wonders. These will be impressive things. These will be impressive people. They will claim to do wonderful things. And you see that in a lot of the modern charismatic movements where people claim to heal the sick and raise the dead, speak in a heavenly language, all of that. But here's the key. No matter what they claim to do, do they preach the true gospel of God's sovereign grace, that God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ, conditioned all of their salvation on Christ, and sent Him into the world as their representative, their surety, their substitute, to die for their sins. And in that He died, He put away their sins. He satisfied the justice of God. He secured the salvation of every sinner for whom He lived, died, was buried, and arose again the third day. And He was buried. He did raise. He was risen from the dead because He redeemed His people from their sins. He established the only righteousness whereby God could be just and justify the ungodly. He established the only righteousness from which God gives life to His chosen people, sinners spiritually dead in their sins. Christ said you must be born again. Where's that new birth coming from? It's not coming from you. It's not coming from me. It's coming from God. Born from above. Born of God. That's what He's talking about. And then those who believe the gospel by God-given faith are brought to repentance of dead works and idolatry, everything they highly esteemed, because they see the glory and the power and the beauty of Christ. Anything that I used to have confidence in as my salvation is nothing but dung, Paul said, because now I see Christ. I see the power of His blood, the beauty of His righteousness imputed to me. And those who believe the gospel and are brought to repentance, they persevere in the faith because God won't let them go. They can't be lost again. You go to a church where they preach, you can be saved one day and then lost another day. You can be saved and then lost after that. That's a falling away from the truth. That's anti-Christ. I know people don't want to hear that, but I'm just telling you the truth. Read it in the Bible. So, but they will be impressive. There'll be great signs and wonders, and we'll talk about that later on in 2 Thessalonians. He talks about, in verse 9, let me finish Matthew 24, and then I'll get over there and show you. But he says in verse 24 of Matthew 24, there shall arise false Christ, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now you say you don't believe election. Many do. Well, here's what he's talking about, the elect here. He's talking about the elect. And here's what he's saying. That in the last days, these false prophets and false Christ, they will be so impressive that if it were possible, and it's not, The Bible tells us, and we'll see that in, later on in 2 Thessalonians 2, if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. Now, all of us start out life deceived. But at some point in time, God's going to reveal His true self, His true character, His true way of salvation through Christ, the true Christ, to His elect. They're not going to continue being deceived. They're not going to end up being deceived. They're going to have the light of the truth. They're going to believe the gospel. But He's telling us here in these last days that these false preachers, these false Christs, Antichrist, and I believe that's right with the man of sin, be revealed, He said, the son of perdition, that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. But look at Matthew 24 and verse 25. He says, "Behold, I have told you before." Verse 26. "Wherefore, or for this reason, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, Christ is here, go on, go not forth," he said, don't follow him. "Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not." In verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So understand now, you'll run into all kinds of false preachers in the last days, and they'll tell you, "Oh, Christ is here, Christ is there, come with us." He said, don't believe them. Test the preachers. I read to you last week in 1 John 4 when John is telling believers, when you hear a message, don't believe everything you hear. Now, he's not telling us to be skeptical. And he's telling us to be like the noble Bereans in the book of Acts. Test them by the word of God. Are they preaching according to this word? Isaiah dealt with that in his days in the Old Testament. Isaiah 8:20. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them." Test me by the word of God. If you run up against a preacher, test him. Put him to the test. Be critical. Now that doesn't mean listen to find fault. That means listen critically according to the Scriptures. The test of the validity of any person's message is the Word of God. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, with that in mind, go back to 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, here's this man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, let me say this to you. Now, you may not agree with me that this man of sin is not one person coming in the future. With the number 666. And by the way, that number 666 is a symbolic number that symbolizes the sin and evil and false message of man. It's put on the forehead, which means the mind. If a false message of salvation conditioned on sinners or salvation by the works and the wills of men is sealed into your mind, that's the number 666. And it's put on the hand. That means the works of man. It's all evil. So, if this man of sin, if you insist that this man of sin is one man, well, here's what you essentially need to know. You need to know not necessarily who he is, but you need to know what he's saying, what he's preaching. Because that's the issue. Listen to this. He said, verse 3, "that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now look at verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God," or that is worshipped, "so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now let me ask you a question. If a false preacher came along in your prospective church and said, "Now I'm God, you follow me," how many people do you think that would fool? Not many, I don't think. Now you may find a political figure who is revered, which is wrong. We shouldn't revere any man. Holy and reverend is God's name. But you may find a political figure in the United States or in somewhere else who becomes revered by a lot of the world, even by people who call themselves Christians. I submit to you, and you know, when you talk about this number 666, I mean, if I was walking around here with a 666 on my forehead, or even on top of my head with the under my hair, which is not very thick these days, or if I had it on my hand, that wouldn't fool you anybody. What Christ is talking about is a deception. Now, let me show you that in 2 Thessalonians 2. And I'm going to get to this in more details later on. But listen to what he says in verse 7. Now, I'm going to deal with these verses before this, but just to make this point. He talks about, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, Paul's telling the Thessalonian believers, the mystery of iniquity is already working in his day. And it's working in our day. Well, what is the mystery of iniquity? Well, mystery in the Bible, as you know, is not something that we have to look for certain clues to figure out. It's not like a Sherlock Holmes mystery or anything like that. It's not, you know, you may be a mystery lover. You like to read mysteries and you go through the book and you look for clues so that you can figure out what the answer, who the culprit is. That's not what a biblical mystery is. A biblical mystery is something that can only be known to us as God reveals it. That's what a mystery is in the Bible. In other words, you're not going to know this unless God reveals it. And what is the mystery of iniquity? Well, it's an iniquity that we do not recognize as being iniquity until God reveals it to us. Now, a great example of that is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. That's where false preachers standing before Christ, and you remember he tells them, he said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Now, what is it to do the will of the Father? It's to believe on the Son. That's what the will of the Father is. That's what his revealed will by way of commandment is. To believe on the Son, to believe in Christ, to plead His blood, His righteousness alone. And He says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? We preached not in our own name, but in Your name. Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? And then in verse 23 it says, and then I will say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, a lot of people look at that Matthew 7, 21 through 23 passage, and they'll look at those preachers, and they'll say things like, well, they weren't sincere enough, or they preached, but they lived immoral lives. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says they're standing before Christ at the judgment. And last week I made this point. What is the standard of judgment at that judgment? It's righteousness. Righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And so if you stand before God at judgment and plead anything, preaching, casting out demons, wonderful works, anything other than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness imputed to us, it's not going to equal out. It's not going to balance out. You're going to be like that Old Testament king in the book of Daniel. You're going to be weighed in the balance and found wanting, lacking. It'll be iniquity. And I've often used this this analogy. The works of believers are the work of God within them. But they come through this old broken pot, this broken vessel, the flesh, and they are contaminated. And that's why when presented to God, the only way He can accept them is through the blood of Christ. That's why Christ is our intercessor. And so, when I pray to God, He accepts my prayers because I pray through Christ. See, He's the one mediator. If I didn't have Christ, my prayers would be iniquity. And it's not that Christ makes up where I leave off. It's all Him. He's passed through into the heavens. So what I'm saying here is this is an iniquity. This mystery of iniquity is something we don't recognize. We think it's good until God reveals it in light of the glorious person and finished work of Christ. And then down in verse 10, now look at 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Well, what is that? That's an unrighteousness by that men are deceived by. What's he talking about? The works of men. Men by nature think it's good enough if they work hard and are sincere and go to church and do this and do that, that that's enough to equal out righteousness, but it's not. And that's what this son of perdition, this man of sin, promotes, whether he's one man or a spirit or a succession of men. Look back at verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 2. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He'll point you to worship himself. He'll point you to worship other things, icons, idols, men. And let me give you a subtle way that Satan uses this kind of opposition. It's not necessarily that people say, worship me. But it's when they say, take what I say, not what the Bible says. That's the man of sin. Now, I'll continue with this in detail as we go through 2 Thessalonians 2. But you need to understand, he sitteth in the temple of God. He infiltrates the church. That's what that's talking about. It's not talking about a building built in Jerusalem. And I'll talk to you more about that next time too. But the temple of God showing himself that he is God. He's the supreme. He's the authority. Well, he's not. Christ is in God. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.